This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In today's talk, Reggie discusses the karmic cycle of birth, existence, death, and rebirth. He says that by learning to open to karmic cycles in the situations of our lives, we can relinquish our resistance to change and allow life to emerge free and unencumbered. This talk was given at the 2003 Winter Datun Retreat, held in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Buddhist understanding of death. As we know, in the conventional world, life and death are regarded as being polar opposites, and death is greatly feared. And if you have ever worked in a medical, conventional medical establishment, you know the almost fanatical attitude toward death is that we ward it off at all costs, even if the cost is exorbitantly high and could alleviate the suffering of a million people. We still spend the money to keep a person alive for another hour. There's a, in most places in the West, there's just a tremendous fear of death, even among people who work with death. And on the other hand, life is considered the prime value. And we must preserve life at all costs. We must ward off death. We must preserve life. And the Buddhist view is different from that. In some sense, life and death are not that distinct. And often when we are clinging to life and to our own existence the most tenaciously is when we're actually the most dead. And on the other hand, when we have learned that we're going to die and we're dying, we're often the most alive of any time in our whole life. And it is those people who are not afraid of death and who can relax into death and let it happen moment by moment that are the most alive. And it's the people who are fighting death the most who are the most dead. So life and death are much more part of a single process. And the more alive we are, the more ready we are to die. The more we feel life in its fullness and abundance, the more ready we are to let go of it. So as we know, as we've been talking about in this datun, also happiness and sadness have a strange relationship. Somehow the more we work with our pain and the more willing we are to be face to face with the dark and troubling and distressing aspects of who we are, the more underlying contentment and relaxation we can feel. And strangely enough, when we are willing to accommodate the painful aspects of our life fully, and we actually begin to feel that we can handle them, and we don't resist them, that's the moment when we feel the most joy. So, if you look at the kind of underlying process, for Buddhism, we've talked about the continuity of the Buddha nature. And we've also talked about how when we experience the death of our self, which we experience all the time in our lives, constantly we feel moments of, you know, particularly in this kind of environment, where we just can't maintain it anymore and we just have to let it go. That there's a kind of continuity underneath that, that something just continues. And from the Buddhist point of view, we mustn't forget the dead. The dead are so important to us, the people who have passed beyond. Whether they just died yesterday or whether they died 100 years ago, we mustn't forget them. They are part of our lives. There's a saying in Buddhism that the karmic connections, the reason death is so important is because it is a chance for the bullshit to basically fall away. And, you know, we say that when people die, we talk about how much sadness and grief we feel because we won't see them again, not in that form. But our karmic connections with those who have died go on. You know, the karmic connections that we have with one another and that we have with people who have died who have been important to us, those connections are, they're undying, they're unbreakable, they're indestructible. The continuity continues, and we come to the end of a karmic pattern. And, you know, the whole spiritual journey is living with our karma, and karma has life and death. We don't have life and death. You know, our essential nature doesn't have life and death, but karmic patterns have life and death. And constantly things arise and they continue and then they disappear. And our job is to live our life. It's that simple, to live our karma. And the more we do so, the more we begin to see how everything has its own lifespan. Whether it's a relationship, whether it is a, you know, there's so many different little lifespans that go on at this dhatan. A little drama happens. In the morning, somebody's mean to somebody, and that's the beginning of a certain lifespan. And then maybe during the day, both people feel bad, and they kind of work on it, and here they are, you know, you can't avoid it, you can't run away, it's just naked. And then maybe that day or the next day or the next day, something happens and that is resolved. And then it's over. That relationship is finished for that moment. That's a little bit of a lifespan. So that process actually goes on all the time with us, birth, existence, and death. And then it happens in the big scheme of things when even our body is involved, birth, existence, and death. And underlying this is the continuity of our Buddha nature. And our problem is that we have separated, and we are, we're on the path to enlightenment. At enlightenment, actually, the separation is overcome, and then we can actually become useful to other people. So that's why we're doing this. So we live our karma, we experience, we go through suffering, our karma is resolved, our awareness becomes a little bit bigger, and we do this for supposedly three incalculable eons if we're bodhisattvas, and we go through billions and billions and billions of lifetimes. And then, you know, the other interesting point is if you kind of figure this out mathematically, if you get out your calculator and figure three incalculable eons, what that might come to in terms of human lifetimes, that's a lot. It's you know, trillions and trillions of lifetimes on Earth. And according to Buddhism, there's something called a world system, and we tend to be reborn in the same world system. And as we do so, we have all been with each other in many, many different ways. Each one of us has been to the other, male and female, and everybody here who's a male has been a female billions and billions of times, and every person here who is female has been a male. We have all been father and mother, sister and brother, friend and enemy to each other over and over and over and over. So it's a huge web of relationships, and the fact that we are here among these people now that is one moment. But all of the people who are dead and all of the people who are in other realms and have been in our lives in the past, they're connected with us. We're all connected. There are many different ways in which we as living people need to relate to the dead. And granted, in modern culture, this doesn't really happen very much. You know, there's not a... Individual people sometimes have a strong sense of that, and you do find it with, you know, in some of the religious traditions, there is a sense of the dead and relating to them. But in our general culture, it's not really there. But in Tibetan Buddhism and Buddhism in general, there are many ways in which we need to relate to the dead. One of them is that what I mentioned before, that we need to honor the connection that we have with those who have gone. It's very similar to a relationship that you have with someone who's living, where in most cases you're not really with that person that many hours during the day or during the year. You know, the most important relationships that we may have, which are the, you know, relationship of partners who are married, of children and parents, of spiritual teachers and students. You know, these are relationships that actually define our whole lives. And yet we're not really with those people that many hours during the day or during the year. But there's a sense of ongoing connection, and that relationship is nurturing us and is supporting us and sustaining us, even if we don't see that person for a year. It's there, it's alive. And so the first way in which we as a living need to relate to the dead is by remembering them and honoring our connections with them. Now, one thing that we do say, and we'll talk about this in the Sukhavati ceremony, is that we can't hang on to them. You know, when people die, we need to let go. In a similar manner, when you go to work in the morning and you leave you and your spouse part ways, you need to let go. When your children, every moment, you need to embrace them and you also need to let go. For any relationship to be alive and vital, you have to continually let go moment by moment by moment. A lot of times, we don't do that. We try to hang on to the living. But actually, that's how you destroy relationships, is by hanging on to them. And a lot of people might feel, I can't really let go, because if I let go, what might happen? What might happen to it? I might lose it. But I think if you have been through the wars of relationships, which many of us have been through many campaigns, you realize that actually you have no choice. If you hang on to the relationship, you're going to slowly strangle it to death. And the only choice and the only hope is to let go moment by moment and let the other person be who they are and let them do what they need to do and let them feel and think and see the way they need to. And if you are willing to do that with a friend or a lover or partner or child, then the relationship is reborn moment by moment. And one thing Trungpa Rinpoche said is, if you want this relationship to last forever, then that's how you do it. You let go. And a relationship in which both people are willing to let the other person go is a relationship that can never be destroyed. It is indestructible. And no one or no thing can ever come between those two people. And strangely enough, it's actually based on the principle of surrendering to the moment-by-moment death that all relationships involve. You have to let go. You have to take that chance. And in a similar manner, The more you let go, the stronger the bond you have with that person, because it's a bond of non-existence and a bond of sanity. And it is so risky, and it's the only way to do it. There's no other way to do it. Likewise, in terms of people who have died, a basic principle is that we must let them go. We must give up our grasping and clinging. And often with people that we love very, very deeply, it's very, very hard to let go. It's hard to let go. But we have to do it. And we do it for them, because when you hold on to people, you hold them back. And we know this is true among the living. It is so true among us. When we hold on to each other, when parents hold on to children and don't let them go, we hold the children back. And when lovers hold on to each other, we hold them back. So we know this principle in our lives. In a similar manner, those who have died are simply people who have changed their form. They're in another mode of existence, and by letting them go, we let them go their way. We must do that. It's the greatest gift we can give them. And also for ourselves, we have to let go. Because when we hold on to others, we actually hold ourselves back also. And we don't let the natural karma of life educate us and teach us and lead us. We're trying to resist the flow. We're trying to hold back the Nile. And it's a process that is ultimately, it goes nowhere and it impedes our own development. So for ourselves, we have to let go also. But the strange thing, and this is the important thing to remember, is that when we let go of people who have died, that is how we assure that our connection with them is going to be indestructible, because we are giving them the ultimate gift of their own life and their own freedom.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.